This is Miff Warhurst on ABC Radio.
I want you to pull out your swimmers, your togs, bathers or cozzies, and I'm getting lots of messages about what you call these items of clothing. Whatever you call them, though, keep those messages through. I want to hear where you come from and why you call them a certain thing. But wherever you live, we've all got at least two pairs, I reckon. I've got two pairs, one that is for good and the other one's got no elastic, but you prefer to wear those ones. This is for speaking for we women folk. Not so sure about the gents, but we'll get to that. But what else do we wear at the pool? Today we're going to trace the history of Australian poolside fashion. I've got our fashion historian, Lydia Edwards, with us. Hello.
Hello, Miff. How are you?
I'm good. And comedian Adam Rosenbarks, who has spent a fair amount of time, I reckon, doing bombs at the pool.
Good afternoon, Miff.
Good afternoon.
And Lydia.
Were you Adam, I'll start with you. Were you a pool attendee as a kid?
Yeah. It was like a big thing because we didn't live close to the beach, so it was always the pool for us.
Yep.
And you'd always read down that list of rules that you couldn't do, no running, no bombs, and my favourite was no heavy petting, which I didn't understand when I was a little kid. I was like, but I love animals.
Don't bring the big dog in here.
Yeah. I love that
great
stuff.
What about you, Lydia? Were you a pool kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like Adam, we didn't really live near the shore and it didn't have easy access to a beach. So, yeah, it was definitely the pool and school swimming lessons and all that kind of thing. And, yeah, those mystifying rules that you get. I was also fascinated by the heavy petting one. I never got my head around that until many years later.
Oh, dear. Well, I remember every pair of swimmers, and I call them swimmers. I'm not sure if this is okay with everyone. What do you call them? Togs, bathers, swimmers?
I'm a bathers boy.
You're a bathers boy. What about you, Lydia?
I never actually heard bathers or cozzies till we came to Australia, so it was always just swimming costume or just your costume.
It's very formal. Yeah.
Very formal. I know. Yeah, I remember them vividly, the ones that I wore as a kid. Each pair was very special and very important, and a lot of thought went into what you purchased.
See, I don't think maybe when I was about 16 is when I got my first pair of Okanuis.
Oh.
And that was – I got to choose those, and they were very boring. It was like blue and white striped.
With the Hawaiian flower on them.
No, they didn't. They were just very plain. And you learned very quickly that the white panel was quite see-through.
Oh, no.
Which is what you want in high school.
and where did you grow up, Lydia?
I grew up in the UK and various other places. We moved around quite a lot. So it was pool culture all the way.
But what about your swimming cozzies? Was it important to get that right even at a young age?
You know, it's funny. The only one I really vividly remember was I must have been really young, about 5 or 6, and I had one with a little belt that went around it, very kind of
lovely.
Early 90s, late 80s. Yeah, a little elastic belt, and that really stands out for some reason. But I can't remember what I wore after that.
On the text line, Megan has said, I have memory of calling men's swimming briefs nettles back in the 70s at the beach, but Megan can't remember why. Might have been a lot of those cask wines that they were drinking at the beach.
Perhaps your nettles were hanging out.
This one's from Sue, who said, I'm a Melburnian for 70 years and I've always called them bathers. So I don't know, nettles, bathers. In Tassie, says another, now living in New South Wales, it's swimmers. Growing up in the 1970s.
Geez, you're brave if you're swimming down in Tassie, aren't you?
You are. It takes a certain amount of
Certain amount of nettles. Get into the water down there.
I use that today. But look, let's get into the fashion.
Well, you said, interestingly, you said you had a pair for good. So what did you mean by that? Is that when you're like at a resort and you got the swim-up bar and you just, you're not, because I reckon there's a difference once you start swimming for fitness was the first time I ever bought a pair of Speedos.
Oh.
Because you realise the drag on boardies and you're like, well, this is a waste of time.
Yes, that's
because
true.
To me, Speedos always felt like I was wearing underpants, like I was a little kid. And so I never enjoyed wearing them. I wouldn't wear them at the beach. You're just like, it's too much on show.
Yeah.
No one needs that.
Oh, but look, the people are coming around, back around to the Speedo. And the fact that we even call them Speedos and not what they are, which is, what's the official term for a Speedo? That's not Budgie Smuggler. Because Speedo is a brand
yeah,
label.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
They're
know.
Generally just known as briefs, I think.
Briefs.
I mean, it varies country to country, but certainly in France where you're not allowed to wear boardies at a pool, you can only wear briefs. They refer to them as swimming briefs.
Just briefs.
You can't wear boardies at a pool.
No, not in France, apparently for hygiene reasons.
What about footy shorts?
No, you can only wear briefs in the pool.
Denim cutoffs. Come on, Lydia, give me something. What?
No. I can't.
Nothing. Denim cutoffs. Now, that was a particularly Australian style of swimwear, wasn't it? Did you have a pair, Adam?
No, I reckon that was early 80s. So if you had your Tirana and you drove that down to the pool, you got out. Because the one thing that you find about those sort of shorts is they're not very convenient for putting anything in. Because remember, people would have like half their wallet hanging out, their keys in there and stuff, and then they'd go for a swim.
And they're not very convenient for keeping things in either.
No, exactly.
It's mostly too much information.
But it was the early 80s, and that's what the boys did. But I never had denim cutoffs.
Never had the denim cutoffs. No.
Not for swimming.
No. And look, where I grew up, people swam in their jeans. It was pretty common.
Wow.
Yeah. Full jeans?
Full jeans. Mm.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, no one
in the Murray?
Jeans. Everyone loved it.
I suppose it's hot. You cool off.
You just jump in the water in your jeans. I would think we've got to call someone who is going to confirm or deny whether or not we should call them swimmers or speedos or briefs. Gavin, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What do you call them, Gavin?
I've always called them trunks.
Trunks.
It's very old school, Gavin.
Is that an English
thing? It is very old school.
Do you think that's an English thing, Lydia? Do you have any idea if that's an English term?
Yeah, certainly when I was growing up, it was, my dad would always talk about having his trunks and my brothers. Yeah, definitely.
Gavin, are your trunks ready and wearing to go for our oncoming summer?
No. They've been well and truly tucked away for now.
You haven't got the fake tan? You haven't got the fake tan ready yet, Gavin?
Tan? I've got a real tan.
You've got a real tan? Mm. Well done.
What do you wear? What do you wear when you're swimming, Gavin?
Board shorts.
Okay. Standard board shorts. Most comfortable. Yeah. But they're not great to swim in. Can we be honest about this?
No, they're not, because they weigh you down. But then they also, they started to upgrade them so they were very light, because I think surfers used to wear them. So you don't want to surf in Speedos, because you're up against the wax, you need your legs protected a little bit. And then they had...
Why don't they just wear bike shorts or something more sort of...
Tight.
Tight and a little bit more aerodynamic and...
It's very cold out there, Miff.
So that's the reason. Right.
And they've got... instead of a zip, they used to have the Velcro front panel. So nothing got caught down there because you'd be naked underneath.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Thinking ahead.
Yeah, we're talking about the history of the cozzy, although we haven't actually got to that as yet. Swimmers, bathers, togs, whatever you like to call them. Lydia Edwards is a fashion historian with us, and comedian Adam Rosenbach is bringing his expertise to the conversation. Here we go. I got a message. When I was mid-teens, I spent all my money on the most lovely white bikini. You guessed it. See-through when wet. Devastating.
Absolutely. And you don't realise it till you get to the pool or to the water and it's far too late.
Yeah, and then everyone is just pointing.
Absolutely.
Because kids aren't subtle either. Look, these days, some people might choose that on purpose and that's fine. Yep. Because as adults, that's fine. Do what you want. You be you.
Has it become more difficult now for the ladies because it's such a fashion thing? Like you see, poolside bars and resorts and stuff like that they're not anyway any good for swimming or for water, but to look good around the pool or the bar. Because they're super expensive now, aren't they, Lydia?
Yeah, totally. I mean, brands like Seafolly and that kind of, organisation, they really make very high fashion garments, which, you can wear them to swim, but they're really not intended mainly for that. They're intended to look good and to be worn underneath, other garments that you can buy as kind of pool accessories. It's a huge fashion part of the fashion industry now. It's really changed from, in the last sort of 60 years. It's definitely become that.
Well, take us right back to the start, Lydia, in Australia, swimwear. When did it become a thing?
Well, I think the first, because people obviously swam in the sea, but then there became concerns over safety, people drowning, and that's why pools generally opened, around the world, but here as well. And so the first public pool, I think, was around 1880-something in Sydney. And the costumes kind of came from what people were wearing in the UK and in Europe and the States. So woolen, long, for men and women.
That's what you want on the summer's day is dark wool.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, it was basically for women a version of what they would wear normally, just slightly lighter fabric and fewer layers. And, you know, the culture of kind of sitting around the pool and sort of enjoying it and having food there just didn't exist. You'd go and you'd swim and then you'd go home again. So it was much more functional. But then I suppose in terms of the swimming costume, as we'd recognize it today, or the swimmers, sorry, I should say, the bathers, really wasn't until quite a lot later, probably in the 1920s, when people first started to wear them as a garment they wanted to be seen in, you know, and to kind of enjoy wearing, and that they would accessorize and glamorize as well.
And having grown up wearing woolen school jumpers, they're not particularly buoyant wool.
No.
Like when you got wet on the walk home, you were like 8 kilos heavy by the time you got home. Like that, it wasn't a good feeling.
Oh, exactly. And it's also because they didn't have, you know, the technology, the textile technology to make anything that would be more, you know, be more suitable. And people that swam professionally wore wool as well.
Did they?
That was just
really?
What there was. Yeah.
No wonder the speeds came down so quickly. They just went, well, I'm not wearing that. I'm not wearing drags. I'm going to weigh 12 kilos heavier. When I get out,
it's crazy,
just my gusset
it?
Hits the floor.
Someone's just texted me and written, hey, Muff. just a spelling mistake there, mate. It's Miff, M for Mary, Y, F for Fred, but Muff's fine. Adam actually calls me Muffy,
yes.
so it's fine. But look, I accept all spelling mistakes. The beach inspector on Bondi Beach in 1960 says Diane from Copacabana. Oh, how good's this? She's from Copacabana, which is in Sydney. In the 1960s, used to measure the side of bikinis and walk you off the beach if the side of your bikinis was under 3 or 4 inches, probably because we were 13. What a grumpy bugger he was, says Diane from Copacabana. That doesn't sound quite right to me,
no,
Diana.
No, that's an odd job. That should have been a lady doing that job, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Different times, weren't they? Where do we get to with swimwear fashion, though, with you, Lydia? Where were you up to? I'm lost.
Where we got to? 20s, I think. Oh, yeah, the 1920s. So, yeah, so going into the 30s and 40s, and you can see it when you see images of Hollywood actresses and people often, you know, modelling swimwear. It became something that was much more acceptable, but still not particularly tiny. You'd still cover up a reasonable portion of yourself, even with a bikini. But it was something that people were wearing around the world a lot more. And then you come to the 60s and things really changed quite a bit. And there was the invention of the monokini. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
No.
Well, this was 1964, and it was an American-Australian designer called Rudy Gernreich. And he believed that fashion was a form of communication that could challenge gender stereotypes. So he came up with a topless bikini, which was known as the monokini.
Oh, he did he?
I think I'd design one of those in year 8.
Well, exactly, yes. And it wasn't a bikini. It was more of, you know, your bottom end was covered and then you had sort of a halter neck and then your boobs just came out the front.
Wow.
And just sat there.
Sounds practical.
Yeah.
But in Australia, that we were much more open-minded about things like topless bathing.
We were?
In the 70s, I think so.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. I was a kid then, but I get the feeling it was pretty free, particularly on the beaches. I could be wrong. Feel free to call up and confirm or deny this as a fact, 1-300-800-222. But I do feel like ideas around nudity were a bit looser back then.
When did the bikini come in?
Yeah. Do you know that, Lydia?
The bikini was, around the 40s and 50s was something that when it first came in, but it really took off. If you think of the itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, it was much more of a 60s thing when people would sort of routinely have one and where it was more widely accepted.
Okay. Hey, we've got a phone call here from Alex. Alex, hello.
Hi. Hi. I was just going to say in the 70s, that's right, Miff, there was a lot of topless bathing in the 70s on the beaches, but also batik was a really big thing, like batik cloth. And we used to have a local woman who made that for us. And
it's a type of fabric, isn't it? A printed
fabric. Yeah, it's sort of maybe from Indonesia,
Balinese,
I think, at that time.
Style.
Balinese, And but the thing with those were, unlike today's swimwear, so they would perish a little, so often they'd pop. So you'd be getting out of the pool or you'd do some sort of activity. And, of course, because they were so tiny and teeny-weeny, there was no way you could put them back on. Like, you basically just had to sort of wait in the pool and wave until you could get someone with a towel to come.
I was going
to
say, how did you get out? That's...
Yeah, no, you didn't.
So are you talking like the nude bathing, Alex?
Back to was the that, nude.
No, but was that at like city beaches? Was it that out there?
So nude bathing was popular and you knew where to go for sure. There was a lot of nude bathing. But I'm talking about, like, if you walked along the beaches, and certainly myself, even as a teenager, we were topless. And it was many, many topless women on the beaches.
What happened? Did we get more conservative I think this is probably something we can have as a
maybe Malcolm Fraser banned it.
Possibly. Or maybe that old guy on the beach who was doing the measurements of the bikinis.
No, he liked it.
He loved it, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, just on that, Miff, there was a time I remember, and I don't know how this fitted in, so it's a bit hazy, but where we would get the inspector from time to time would come up and ask you to put your top back on. But I think it was just that classic thing where they come up and say, put your top on, and then you just take it off when they went away again.
Yeah.
So there was something going around about trying to regulate it. I just didn't call.
Yeah, right.
This is a really interesting discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I get flustered enough seeing ladies' ankles, so yeah. I can't handle that. That's a bit much for me.
So where do we get to with fashion, Lydia? We're coming back to you.
What did we get to? Oh, the monokini.
Which I love. Right. So basically, it's just a pair of Speedos with a thing that hooked around your neck for no apparent reason.
Mm. Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and no support for the ladies either. No, you know, your boobs just hung out there. So, you know, if you were kind of quite well endowed, I think it wasn't a very sensible kind of thing to wear. But the problem was it became really widely ridiculed. And although the designer said he was meant to be kind of using it for emancipation reasons, it kind of completely backfired. So it wasn't, you know, a long-standing thing. And then, you know, when you get into the 70s, 80s, I think you talk about people becoming more conservative. I think it wasn't, in terms of fashion, it maybe wasn't so much conservatism, but it was, you know, the emphasis on fitness and looking good and looking athletic in the 70s and 80s. Sportswear was becoming more fashionable anyway, you know, as a kind of day-to-day item. So it was more about having things that looked sporty and looked good rather than something that was minimalist and, you know, and looked sexy in terms of fashion. So, yeah, I think the tide changed a little bit there.
And do you get more of a flow on from something like what Bo Derek wore in 10?
Oh.
When she came out of the water, that was pretty sheer and white. Was there a bit of a, you know, did that create its own little trend?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, not everywhere, actually. I think generally at that time period, it really still so much was about the sports and the kind of athletic look. But yeah, I think there were certainly little pockets, you know, in popular culture.
I mean, I got cornrows out of that.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right.
I looked hot.
Where are we at now, Lydia, in terms of fashion, poolside fashion? Is it more about how it looks and the fashion of it, or have we gone back to a practicality? Where are we at?
Well, it's really interesting because when I was looking at some, you know, really recent stuff before we spoke today, it seems to be all about covering up in a weird way. It's all about what you wear on top of your, you know, your swimming costume or your budgie smugglers or whatever you're wearing. You know, it's all about accessorizing that. So for men, there are lots of articles, GQ and people, you know, people like that saying, oh, you've got to wear these shorts and these shirts and this belt and accessorize with this bag when you're going to the pool. So obviously the swimming costume itself, you know, places like Sea Folly sell these very beautiful, more expensive ones, but it is also about what you wear with it. So it's about how you look when you're not in the pool, I think, just as much as when you are.
And I think too, we should quickly put our fingers on some of the pool accoutrements that perhaps were fashionable. I think we all had the folding banana lounge from the 70s. I think that originally came from the 50s.
Is that right?
I think it was all of a sudden a gorgeous new invention, but nobody realised that you'd be getting on it boiling hot with skin and there was a lot of tan lines or burn lines from lying on a far too hot banana lounge, I think.
You know what's seen a resurgence is the pink flamingo floaty.
Yes.
Yes.
They're everywhere now. And I think, you know what, one Instagrammer does it and everyone wants to follow suit.
That's right. Now you can
Flamingos are kind of fashionable. They're like unicorns. I don't know. You used to see them everywhere at the moment for some reason.
You've seen unicorns, Lydia?
Oh, what haven't I seen?
In the flesh. Okay. just before we wind up today, I have someone on the phone, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Miff. Good afternoon.
Now, I'm not sure if this is legit or not. Promise me you're legit.
As far as I remember,
it's a good start.
It's legit. Back in the whenever it was 60s or a bit earlier, 50s maybe, with a bikini measurement fellow. That was Dr. Laidlaw. He eventually became, I'm pretty sure, the president of the Surf Life Saving Association, and they had a building up in King's Cross somewhere. But anyway, he was the measurer, and I'm sure it was 3 or 4 inches, like your guest had said. But despite all that, there was a fashion in the 70s from France called the Pitsbouin bikinis. They were tan through.
Oh, yes, somebody else has written about that as
tan
well.
Tan through?
And when they got wet, they were
see-through.
Oh, so it's a little bit like those glasses that you buy that have bodies in bathers, and then when you fill them up or drink the water from the glass, they then no longer have clothes on.
But the best fashion of all was the
crocheted.
All of them have crotches.
Yeah, lots of holes.
Goodness me, I've learnt so much today. Thank you, Michael, for that legitimate story about the bikini measurer.
So much areola in the 70s, wasn't there?
Who knew we were going to get to that? I'm fascinated by that.
That's why I came in. I knew where we were going.
I know. Yeah. I know. Lydia, are you glad you came in too?
Oh, very much. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, really interesting.
Hey, I think we've got one more phone call. This is Prue. Hello, Prue.
Hi, Miss. How are you?
Good.
My parents had the first manufacturing of bikinis in Melbourne in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
The company was called Prudence Jane. Funny name.
Look at
you. I don't
know
where they found that. Shirley Stafford started in Queensland, and Mum and Dad had the factory in Montrose, and then the basin after that, and went for quite a number of years.
Oh, that's
Can you remember
amazing.
What they were made out of, Prue?
Cotton.
Cotton Straight bikinis.
Cotton bikinis with some had fit bras that had like a bra inside that had been covered in the fabric. Others had just fabric.
Were you allowed to wear a bikini, though, even though you...
Oh, look, I was a topless baby from way back. So, yeah, I was Dad's model many times. There's more photos of me than the boys at the beach.
But when you went to the pool, did you have to...
No. When I went to the pool in the 60s, I had to wear a one-piece. I wasn't allowed to wear a bikini at the Croydon pool.
Oh,
so many rules.
So I wore bikinis to the beach with the folks, and if I went to the pool with the kids after school...
Of course.
...or whatever, it was a one-piece.
Bikinis lead to heavy petting, we all know
well,
that.
Well, that's right. I've had a lovely time doing this today, poolside fashion. Look, it wasn't always great. There were times when I wished I didn't have to put the body on show.
Yeah.
And with poolside fashion comes a little bit of memory, distressed memories, I think.
Mm.
You always remember something like when you go to like Thailand or another country and there's a whole cosmopolitan range of people and you see how different people bathe. Like, I just remember one, there's this Russian group and all the girls were just, like, spread-eagled with their bikinis on. And you're just like, that's just, it was such a weird thing to see. Because, you know, we've read
demure. Were they taking Instagram photos?
No, they weren't. It was pre-Instagram. They were just laying out casually.
Just tanning. Just,
yeah, legs.
Akimbo.
Yeah, tanning bits that you don't want tanned.
Oh, well, maybe you do want them tanned.
Perhaps you do.
It's got to be an all-over tan as far as we know.
A lot of moisturising.
Yeah. Oh, goodness me, this has been so much fun. Lydia Edwards, thank you again for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, Lydia's a fashion historian. She joins us on the regular and gives us great illustrations of certain movements in fashion. And also you, Adam Rosenbarks, you've got a book.
Yes.
Just quickly.
It's called Paris and Other Disappointments, and it's out now.
And so it's going really well. It's in its second reprint.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations. You better get a copy before it runs out.